Romans 3, 22. We'll begin rereading this paraphrase that we read last week. This is a whole bunch of translations all kind of combined into one. The righteousness of God belongs to all who see and believe and embrace, to all whose faith is awakened through Jesus Christ. Righteousness is ours to have, every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done. Last week, we began looking at Romans 3, which is Paul's well-known treatise on sin and righteousness. And smack in the middle of that chapter, he makes this rather bald statement. He says, "You are the righteousness of God. Righteousness is yours. It's all of yours. If you lived in the South, it would belong to all y'all." No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, this is yours. God's righteousness is yours. We talked about the incredulity that this statement evokes. Paul must not have known people, we said. He must have been some kind of a starry-eyed idealist or somebody mooning over a lick and a promise. But, I suggested, it's very difficult to understand Paul's treatise unless you are familiar with grammar. And I suggested that we familiarize ourselves with the future perfect tense. Language frames meaning. We have human experience. We fashion that into language, and then that language reflects back to us our human experience. It's how we make meaning. This is why Eskimos have in their language so many words for snow, because they gather their experience and then their language reflects it back to them. It's why the Greeks had so many words for love. They had at least 5 words for love. It's because they reflected deeply on human nature and then they fashioned language to reflect that experience, and then that language then showed back to them how they came to understand reality. So, we look at our language and it tells us something about how we experience reality. And the future perfect goes a little bit beyond past, present, and future. If all we have is past, present, and future, it can get a little bit discouraging. Because in the past, I really screwed up my spiritual journey. Or I really screwed up my relationships. Or I really screwed up my dreams or so forth in the past. In the present, I am still screwing up my spiritual journey. I'm still screwing up my relationships. I'm still screwing up my dreams and so forth. And in the future, there's every indication that I'll just keep on doing more of the same. And past, present, and future can become very discouraging. But embedded into our language is a way that human beings experience reality. It's a way that we find meaning, and that is the future perfect tense. By next Wednesday morning, the American people will have elected a president. Unless we have a hanging Chad debacle, then it might take another week after that. Basically, that is the future perfect tense. Today is time X, the future next Wednesday, and between now and then is process Y that's going to have ongoing impact on time X. This future perfect framing of reality, we said, is how Paul could make such an audacious claim about you and about me. You are God's righteousness, he says. You are the divine nature manifest on this earth. You are love and joy and kindness and goodness. You are virtue. You are courage. You are justice. You are selflessness. You are these things. Even though you're still living in time X and you don't always look that way. Our faith, he says, our belief is this. It's in process Y. Time X, time Z, and in between is process Y that impacts time Z. Process Y happens in between today, which is not so wonderful, and tomorrow, time Z, that our tradition gives us this great hope that will be extra wonderful. Process Y, he says, is something that you can count on. And that's what I want to focus on today. You can count on it. You can put your belief in it, he says. In another translation, you can put your trust, you can put your faith in it. The divine spirit that moves in us and moves us to this redemptive place that is our great hope is like the pull of gravity. It's sure and it's firm and it's reliable and it's insistent, it's resolute. It keeps drawing us and keeps drawing us. You can resist it if you want. And some who've been sold a toxic version of religion will tend to do that from time to time, but it's really difficult to resist, to be honest. It's one of those give it an inch and it will take a mile kinds of dynamics in our experience. All you have to do to experience gravity is to stand up. And all you have to do to experience this process, why, this movement of the indwelling spirit of God, this drawing of the inner voice, is desire. Desire goodness. Desire virtue. Desire life and truth and wisdom. Desire, and then pay attention. Listen for the inner voice. Listen for truth and wisdom. We talked about some texts last week that say it's always there, always being offered to you. Listen for the inner nudgings that would move you toward virtue. Be intentional in your attention paying. Show up on Sunday, we said, was a good example. Listen to, as Elizabeth talks about her journey to intentional gratitude. Write down your own journey toward intentional gratitude. Listen to the promptings of God within you. Listen to a lesson that has these moments in which you say, oh, that's a truth that applies to me and right now, and you begin to heed it, pay attention to it. Take an inventory of the painful moments that are going on in your life and ask why they're there. What's going on? What do I believe? What are the core dynamics that are causing this reality in my life? Pay attention. We talk about a whole smorgasbord of pay attention kinds of practices here at NRCC, meditation, examine of consciousness, techniques in self-awareness and self-disclosure, welcoming prayer, Lectio Divina, spiritual reading. And what are these? They're really nothing more than just practices that help us pay attention. We train ourselves to be watchful. We quiet the noise of our busy, busy lives so that we can hear process why when it quietly invites us. And one of the things that I want to point out is that this process why thing, you really can't mess it up. The process is reliable. It doesn't, our text indicates, depend on how good you've been. It doesn't favor one kind of person over another. It doesn't give gifts to the worthy people and withhold those gifts from the unworthy. It's just not that way. That's not the way this thing works. Jesus said the same. Think about the nature of God, he said, that wild thing that is too big for our minds to contain, the source from which all consciousness of life comes, the soil in which we all are all rooted, the ground of our being. Think about that wild thing, he said, and think about it this way. The divine gives rain to people who behave nicely, and they get to drink. But the divine also gives rain to people who behave badly, and they get to drink. Both need water, both are given water. That's just the way this thing is. And it's the same of process why. Process why is something that you can count on. You can count it like you can count on the sun rising tomorrow. You don't earn it. You don't become worthy of it. It just is. You can count on it the way that you can count on the sun rising tomorrow. Now, tomorrow when the sun rises, you can hide from it, but it'll be difficult. If you really put your mind to it, you can resist it. But with simply desiring and simply paying attention, you find that this is a process you could count on. God gives the sun to shine on the just and the unjust. It's just that way. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. It isn't that way. Process why? This calling, moving, transforming work of the Holy Spirit just is the way the sun and the rain just are. So show up for the day and experience the sun, and show up for the spiritual journey and experience the movement of the Spirit of God within. Desire growth, desire transformation, desire virtue, desire wisdom, desire discernment, and then pay attention. And the Spirit of God, this process that moves outside, will take care of the rest. Process Y will do what process Y does. Time X is today. Messy, untidy. Time Z is the future of redemption that is the hope of our faith. Time Z is that thing that we understand Christ has revealed to us, that redemption is our heritage. The problem is time X exists in the present, time Z exists in the future. And the future perfect says that there is something that happens between present and future that has ongoing effect on future. And that is a process. And for us, as people of faith, people who look for the indwelling Spirit, process Y is that call and response that happens with the Spirit of God within us. That there is a nudging prompt and a response on our part. That the Spirit of God begins to awaken us to wisdom and we respond by listening carefully and obeying tenaciously. It's that movement of God that takes us from here to there that is wrapped up at the core of our faith that says, you are going to move from here to there if you desire and pay attention. And it has everything to do from little whispers of virtue on how to raise your children, little checks in your heart about words that you would say. It's basically the unraveling of false self. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's wrapped up into it, but what it is taking us from here to there. Make sense? Once you start this process, this paying attention to the process Y that moves us from X to Z, once that starts, the most natural thing in the world is to start sharing it with one another. You start to reiterate to one another the trustworthiness of why. Sure, you say to one another, today you're still sidetracked by this temptation, this shiny bauble. Sure, you've fallen into that same old habitual failure that you do. Sure, you lived that way today and you lived that way this week and you lived this way in a way that you didn't want to. Yep, that happened. But the Spirit of God is alive within you. The process why movement is going on inside of you. And I can see it sometimes even when you can't. And as long as I'm standing beside you, I'll just keep reminding you of that, and you will do the same for me. As we get immersed in and familiarized with this concept of the future perfect, we begin to get familiar with what the Christian life is. We stop judging one another by our failures because we stop judging ourselves by our failures. We start to get the hang of why Jesus hung around with the people that he did. The people that Jesus hung around with were considered by themselves and by others failures. The people that Jesus hung around with were the people that were embarrassed by their own actions and that were an embarrassment to be around. The people were ashamed, ashamed of their very existence because they had betrayed their own people by collaborating with the Romans, or because they had prostituted themselves in order to pay the bills, or because they had sunk to the realm of sharecroppers and lost the heritage of their family's land. And these are the people that Jesus hung around with, people who were ashamed of themselves and embarrassed of themselves and were an embarrassment to the community. And why did Jesus hang around with these kind of people? Because he didn't see them according to time X. He didn't see them as this snapshot of a moment in which they were currently existing. He saw time Z and he trusted process Y. So it was the most natural thing in the world for Jesus to extend an audacious invitation to them and the same invitation to us, which is take up future perfect thinking, and then once you've done that, build communities with one another that embrace that way of thinking and reinforce that way of thinking one to another, the trustworthy truth that you can count on process Y, and you can count on arriving at this redeemed place of time Z. And once you get this picture in your head, you simply make authentic community. It's what you do. And you do it with imperfect people. You do it with irritating people. You do it with people who talk too much, or people who talk too little, or people who sin too much, or people who pretend that they don't sin at all. You do it with gluttons, and you do it with lusters, and you do it with the angry, and you do it with the deceptive. Because you begin to realize that as long as there is desire and as long as people are paying attention, and you will recall I said nobody who shows up on a Sunday doesn't, so that qualifies all of us. As long as we desire and as long as we pay attention, and if we would even enhance our chances of success by helping one another pay attention, as long as that is happening, you begin to live in the reality that time X is not the threat that we once thought it was. Me hanging around with you when I can see your flaws doesn't threaten me because it's a passing transient moment. Time X is a paper tiger. It may look ferocious, but it has no teeth. Process Y is always working and it is always moving, and time Z is a realer real than time X ever was. And people who live in the future perfect are people who can't help but fashion authentic spiritual community around themselves. We can't help but create intimate allies for the journey. We don't rest until we have breathing group kinds of friends, because we are looking for people to be on the journey with, because we begin to understand that people are treasure. And we look for them and we look to share our lives with them with a passion that's greater than the passion we bring to our careers and greater than the passions that we bring to buying stuff or to fixing up the house or to getting our to-do list done. Because when we live in future perfect thinking, spiritual community is a compelling draw because we want to be around the greatest treasures that exist on the earth, which is one another. And when this happens, we are drawn to a kind of life together that so far transcends what has been reduced to religion. We quit living according to a list on the wall that we have to conform to. We quit living according to behavior modifications. The Buddhists stop being our enemies and start being our allies. We quit getting upset at homosexual people for trying to establish their place in our society. We don't worry about the kinds of things that go according to the list on the wall. We are looking for the treasure. And one of the things that we don't do is we don't worry about the benefits that we're going to get from a relationship. We don't wonder to ourselves, will that person help me out or will that person hinder me? Instead, it becomes our joy to be walking alongside one another while process Y is unfolding. Now, I've seen this dynamic happen again and again. I've seen it happen in my own life, and I've seen it happen among us as a community. And it goes something like this. Doug stands up here and he talks about community. People think, yeah, he makes a good case. I think I'll go give that a try. And they start looking around for who they'll make community with. And they stand over here and they see you over there. And there you are over there. And from here, over there, I can already see your weakness. I can see your flaw. I know what it is. You talk too much. You're too self-protective. You're too religious. You're not religious enough. Your kids are ill-behaved. You're probably a bad parent. And I can see that from here, and I think to myself, I don't think it would benefit me to be in community with you. Of course we do that, because we have precious little time on the earth, and given the way our society's going, we have precious little time just in general. But the reason we think that, we don't want to waste our time on somebody who isn't going to be a benefit to us, is because we haven't fully immersed ourselves yet in future perfect thinking. Because there is nothing more worth our time than walking with the person who talks too much. And doing so, and doing it in the safe environment that Paul talks about, seeing that we are already God's righteousness, that time X is transient and that time Z is on the way, when we are around people who have desire and who are paying attention, it is energizing and it is awakening. I get to watch the movement of God and I get to stand by when people see stuff. Oh, I talk too much. I hadn't seen that. You know, I don't listen enough. I think I'm kind of anxious. I think I'm kind of driven to speak because I'm not sure that people would accept me if I don't entertain them. You know what? I think I'm too religious. And I think I'm too religious because I've got a God that is angry at me. Or, you know, I'm not religious enough because I'm stepping away from that kind of stuff like crazy because I think it's toxic. And now that I realize maybe it's not toxic, you know, my kids are in trouble. I need to figure out why it is that I'm parenting the way that I'm parenting. And when we are standing with one another while process why is happening, there are few things on earth that are more fulfilling and enriching. Now, if we are already immersed in future perfect thinking, it's possible for us to become carriers of desire and attention paying. Future perfect people can be infectious. We infect desire in one another, and we infect attentiveness. People who live in this future perfect mindset are like Jesus. We enjoy hanging out with the ne'er-do-wells. It's like treasure hunting. I can't wait to see how process Y is going to shape my friend into time Z. So Sue, she has a really tough family. She grew up in a really tough environment. Clearly, she's been hurt. She stays so guarded. She stays so hidden. But I've been putting in a lot of effort with her. And by now, she should trust me. But it just doesn't seem I'm getting anywhere. I don't think I'm getting anything out of this energy and time that I'm putting into Sue. Or Sue. Her time X is pretty hidden, and it is pretty guarded. I imagine that if I'd grown up the way that she did, I might have been the same way. I wonder what process Y is going to do and work out for Sue in her life. I actually can't wait to see how this is going to go. Two choices. Now, many of us have lived this latter way for some time now, and here's what has happened to many of us. Relationship with Sue that we thought was going to be a relatively one-sided affair turned out to be not. As we arrogantly had assumed that it might, it turns out that when we get into this kind of future perfect relationship, something happens. I find out in this context that I am flawed. I'm selfish, or I'm impatient, or I'm graceless, or I'm anxious. Get into a trusted relationship, and you can't help but reveal these things. And now Sue, she bought this thing that I was selling, this future perfect thing, and now she has seen my time X, and she's not defining me by it. Now that's a surprise. This thing happens again and again. We start out by standing with someone in their time X season. Knowing what we know about the future perfect, we stand with our friend. And knowing what we know, it's kind of fun. What we didn't anticipate is that, oh man, in this kind of relationship, my own time X stuff can't help but surface. And lo and behold, the one for whom I thought I was standing is now standing for me. And it happens again and again and again. And so when we stand over here and say, I can see your flaws. I can see your weaknesses. I don't think it's going to be worth my time and energy. We cut off one of the sources of transformation and well-being that so deeply enriches our souls. When we immerse ourselves in future perfect living with safe, trusting and trustworthy, soul-nurturing spiritual community, we find that that just comes, the one comes from the other. You live with the future perfect mindset, you find yourself in the nurturing community. Now, there's an unspoken axiom that our society rotates around, and it is this: if you can't get it right, we don't want you here. If you can't get it right, we don't want you here. If you can't fit in socially, if you don't have enough to offer to make you worth our time, if you're not spiritual enough, or if you're not womanly enough, or if you're not manly enough, or successful enough, or funny enough, or smart enough, or interesting enough, well, then we don't want you around. And that corrosive axiom is always playing in the background. It starts sometime around late grade school, and it just infects our culture, and it destroys us. But the future perfect mindset that was advocated by Jesus and Paul and our saints is the very antithesis of this axiom. It says just the opposite. It starts off in chapter 3 of Romans, and it says, let's just lay the foundation here. You can't get it right. None of us can. Every one of us falls short of getting it right. So let's make that our starting place. You can't get it right. But that doesn't mean that we don't want you around. In fact, we have faith in, we have belief in a time Z that is coming for you, because we've got faith in and we believe in a process Y that will take you there. And so we really do want you around. Like Paul, we are learning to see you through future perfect eyes, and we say that you are the righteousness of God. It's not that we don't see your time X messiness. Sure we do. We just don't care about it, because we've got a broadened perspective. We say this really outlandish thing on our website under what we believe. We say we don't think sin's all that big a deal. That gets a lot of folks really upset, because sin's a big, big deal. And we say, no. When you look at this with future perfect eyes, it's a paper tiger. The redemptive process that is set before us is something we can believe in. It's something that we can have faith in. And if we have faith in it, if we believe in it, then time X is just not that big a deal. And so when we look at you and we see your time X, we stop saying we don't want you around. And we start saying we do want you around. Now here's the reality. We've said it so many times. You find what you're looking for. And if you have rooted yourself in future perfect thinking, if you have rooted yourself in the belief that time X might be here, but process Y is for sure going to take us to time Z. Well, if that's the way that we are approaching our lives, when we look at one another, we are looking past time X. Sure, yeah, I got this messiness on it. Yeah, well, you got, wow, that's some industrial strength of time X. You really got that going on. But I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for this. And sure enough, when I'm looking for that, I find it. And when I'm looking for process Y unfolding in you at all times, in all these moments, I find it. I find what I'm looking for. And if I'm looking for that and I find it, I want you around. I want to be with you. You are endearing to me. You are engaging to me. I start to see reality differently. I see the seeds of your time Z unfolding every moment, because that's what I'm looking for. And that changes this toxic axiom that runs our culture. And it's what distinguishes Christian community. It is what turned the world around for the first 300 years after Jesus, when people took on this mindset. And it is what Jesus invites us to as Christians today, to say, this is what it means to be Christian. Now, here's a bunch of stuff you've heard that it means to be Christian. You can just throw all that stuff away. Here is what it means to be Christian. You live in this future perfect reality with one another. You pay attention. You desire and pay attention. You encourage that same thing in one another, and then you look and you watch what happens, and you will see the Spirit of God working this thing in you and in one another. And that's a lot of fun. That is deeply, deeply fulfilling and satisfying. And that is worthy of our lives and our time. We really do want you around here. We're people of the future perfect. That's what we are. We are citizens of the God kingdom. That's what we are. And that's what we want to live out here at NRCC. So, Spirit of God, may it be so here in our community. May we be people of the future perfect in the way that we see ourselves and the way that we see one another, and may we forge the kinds of spiritual friendships in which we can practice this future perfect together. Be it so, Lord, among us. In Jesus' name, amen.